Well, let's set those to the side. Here we go, diving back in tonight to our series on having a grateful heart. And tonight, specifically, a portrait of a grateful heart. What does a grateful heart look like? So far, we have considered in the topic of gratitude, we've seen that we are always, no matter what the circumstances are at any given moment, we are always recipients of God's goodness. Can we say amen to that? I very seldom ask for an amen, but we need to, because that's a foundational starting point in understanding gratefulness. We are the recipients of God's goodness, no matter what. And that has to be our mindset, but not just a psychological trick in our mind. It is based on Scripture. God loves you more than you love yourself, which is pretty much, isn't it? We do love ourselves. God loves us even more. God proved His love for us. And even though we are so unfaithful to Him, sometimes day by day, He loves us so much, the forgiveness is always there. The restoration is always there for us to come back. He wants that restored relationship with us. And in order to keep it restored, He is working through His Holy Spirit that He put within us. He's working to bring us to the level where our relationship will stay restored with Him. It's called holiness. We just finished up on that series there. And so no matter what circumstance, we are always the recipients of God's goodness. And another reason why is because God is good. Not God does good things. God is good. So everything He does, everything He allows is good. He wastes nothing. And He's always at work for our good, to make us more like Christ, to make us more like His original creation in the Garden of Eden. Our thinking affects our thanking. We kind of zeroed in on that a little bit last week. We sometimes think the circumstances are bad, so we don't feel grateful when they're bad. If I came over and smashed your front window, would you be grateful? Why? Because you think that's bad, right? It can't get any more simpler than that. Okay, now if we take that thought process and apply it to other things in our lives, circumstances that happen to us, we get laid off, or we get a health issue, we think, oh no, that's bad, and because we think bad, we don't feel grateful. Our feelings are affected by what we think. By the way, that's an interesting connection to put into other areas of our life. Okay? If we're thinking about this person, okay, or if we're feeling bitterness towards that person, what are we thinking about that person? Connect the dots works with that as well as other areas in our life. And yet, James tells us everything comes from God and everything is good. But we don't think about that, so our gratefulness isn't there. So tonight, let's go ahead and take another step and begin constructing what gratefulness looks like. Saying thank you. Would you say that is one outward manifestation of being thankful? Yes, that's in our culture. It is a social formality to say thank you. It's kind of something we have to do to be socially acceptable. Like after a wedding, okay? Guys probably don't know much about this, but after the wedding, the bride has to do what? All those thank you notes. Okay? And hopefully they get them all done before their first anniversary, right? See, that's the problem with a big wedding. Lots of presents, but lots of thank yous afterwards. The reason that it seems like a drudgery writing all of those thank you notes is because it stems from an obligation. This is something I have to do, and because I have to do it, it's a drudgery. There isn't the gratefulness, so there isn't the joy in saying thank you with the thank you cards. Thankfulness, folks, true heartfelt thankfulness is a picture of a certain kind of heart. One that we should have. And this heart is, first of all, in your outline there, transformed by Christ. A grateful heart is a heart that is transformed by Christ. This is where thankfulness begins. It doesn't begin with social pressures. It doesn't begin with mama telling me I got to write a thank you card every time someone gives me a gift or does something nice for me. It begins with our relationship with Christ. It is Christ that makes thankfulness possible. Now, consider this verse with that thought. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Now, what does it say next? Read it with me. For this is the will of God. There it is. It is God's will that in everything we give thanks. You ever wonder what God's will for your life is? There's one of the things right there. Give thanks in everything. Let's just take a random brainstorm here. What are some other things that are God's will for our life that we know of? Trials, okay, what else? Prayer. God's will that we pray, right? What else? Forgive. It is God's will that we forgive. What else? Read the scriptures. Giving is God's will. How about telling others about Christ? It's God's will. Now, all of those things, telling others about Christ, giving, forgiving, praying, reading the scripture in our trials, all of those things that we know we're supposed to do. What do preachers always say when they're talking about one or more of those things? God equips you to do what He's commanding you to do, doesn't He? He's not going to ask us to do something that we can't do or He hasn't equipped us to do. He equips us to give the gospel. We have no excuse for not doing it. He equips us to give. He equips us to do one of the hardest things in the world, forgive. His grace equips us to do those things. Here we have the will of God. In everything, give thanks. This is God's will. If it's God's will, He makes it possible for us to have a grateful heart. So it is commanded by God to have a grateful heart, to give thanks. It's His will, and it is willed for us in Christ. That's what makes it possible when we are in Christ, when we're saved, when we're one of His children. This is made possible by God when we are in Christ. But more than that, Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So let me stop right there. What's happening there in that verse? The word of Christ, the Bible, it's dwelling in us, okay? So that is first, by the way, okay? That's what's first in the verse. The Word of God is dwelling in us. That is necessary. That's what makes verse 17 possible. Here's verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Thankfulness is a result of the word dwelling in us, Christ. Remember, we're considering a certain kind of heart that thankfulness flows from. Christ dwelling in the heart, it is possible to give thanks in all things. Else it would not be His will for us, and He wouldn't have said here, where or whatsoever ye do, whatsoever is kind of like a wherefore or therefore in Scripture, because the Word of Christ dwells in us richly. We are now able to have a grateful heart. That's the result. Notice that word, whatsoever. Or in other words, in everything. In everything, all things, we are to be grateful. That's hard to do, isn't it? Yes, it is. And I've probably touched on this before. Sometimes those of us that are super spiritual, when something big happens, we're like, well, we're just thankful to God. We don't know why God's allowed this. God's in control. We're just praising God. We're giving thanks to God. But, okay, that's fine. How often do those things happen in our lives? Not very often. What happens every day? Irritations. The spouse is in a bad mood, says something that we don't like. The car won't start. The air isn't getting the house cool enough. It's too hot outside. In January, it's too white outside. Wham! That lady at the checkout line. Oh, this happened to me tonight. I'm standing there in Aldi's. I went in there to get a case of water. And I walk up to the checkout line. I get in line. And there's this lady in front of me that has a Mack truck grocery cart full of food. She's just starting to unload it. Now, what would I have done if I were her? I would have said, ma'am, would you like to go ahead of me? But no. So I'm left standing there, recalling my message for tonight, thinking, okay, I guess I got to praise Jesus. Oh, is this thing's getting heavier? And she took her sweet time unloading that cart. I wanted to set the water down and say, here, let me help you, and start throwing stuff out of the cart. Every day, those little irritations. See, in everything, in all things, give thanks. Not in every and all big things, but those little things every day that just tweak us, rub our hair the wrong way. Those things that we're complaining about, and we don't like this, and we don't like that, and we don't like what they said, and we don't like the way they did that. Wham, wham, wham. You know what that's reflecting? It's reflecting a heart that does not have Christ dwelling in it. That needs to be the thought on our mind when the words start coming out like that. What is our heart reflecting at that moment? Our heart, when stuff happens, big or little, okay? When stuff happens, our hearts pivot one direction or the other. They either pivot towards Christ or away from Him as we stubbornly and pridefully ignore the truth. What do we know as truth? I just reviewed it earlier. God is good. God loves us. God has proved that love for us. God gives us the Holy Spirit to make all these things possible. God is working to restore our relationship. But she wouldn't let me put my water on the belt. What did I just do? I just ignored truth and my heart pivoted away from Christ. I know the truth. We know the truth. And right at that moment, our heart is going to pivot one direction or another. Other truths like all things work together for good. Right? All things come from God, as we read in James. And we ignore that truth and we then pivot away from Christ. And let's consider another verse, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, we're in Christ, So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Did you realize God talked about being thankful so much? Having this grateful heart? And it's never tied to being socially accepted. It's always tied to our position in Christ. He makes it all possible. If our hearts are thankful, or if we say that we do have thankful hearts, here's the test. We have received Christ. We are saved. We are rooted in him, as that verse says. We are built up because of him building us up. We are growing in him, our faith, our trust in him and his truth that we have learned is firmly planted. If all of that is true, what's the result? Abounding thankfulness in all things. If we're not thankful, if you got irritated today, okay, by that, probably it was probably that same lady that was in all these. She was sent there to irritate me. Okay. If you got irritated today, I'm not saying you're not saved. But what I'm saying is perhaps we are not rooted in faith. We're not built up and grown up into Christ enough. So it's kind of like a barometer that should show us where we're at. So here's the application for us. A quote that I came across: the degree to which I am not thankful is the degree to which I should ask myself if I am as rooted and built up in Christ as I may think I am. Now, it's probably no one in this church, no one in Taylorville, okay? But have you run across someone that has been saved for like ever and all they do is complain? That's not a picture of someone being rooted and built up in him. Being rooted and grounded in Christ, that's the source, the fountain of thanksgiving. But there's a problem, okay? And that problem is this. The command to give thanks is a command that our flesh cannot obey. Before we look at this next verse, I want us to remember where true thankfulness comes from, okay? It comes from being rooted in Christ. Now, here's the next verse, Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Here's what that's saying. Our carnal mind, okay, which we still have, is hostile towards God. It doesn't submit to God. In fact, it can't submit to God. So what happened? Christ died. Not only to pay the penalty for our sin, but to create a thankful heart. Now, you may recall, I don't have the reference in my notes tonight, the verses in Psalms where Paul is talking about those that knew God in their hearts, but were not thankful. Romans 1. Thank you. We narrowed it down to one chapter. Romans chapter 1. And they were not thankful. And here, consistent thankfulness, folks. Consistent thankfulness is an indication. Gratitude is an indication that a person is spiritually alive. Consistent thankfulness. Not just in the good stuff. It indicates that a heart truly trusts God when we are thankful with the bad stuff. The level of thankfulness of a person can raise the question of where that person's affections lie based on what we're seeing in God's word here. So if you are thankful to God, be careful. Be thankful for your thankfulness. There's something to chew on. You say, oh, well, I never complain. My flat tire went flat, right. My tire went flat last week, and I just praised Jesus. I had a praise fest on the side of the road. Pastor, I was even raising my hands on the side of the road. And that lady in Aldi's, I ran into her last week. And you know what I did as I was holding my case of water? I let someone else go ahead of me, and I just praised Jesus all over Aldi's. Well, okay, fine. Be careful, though. Because where does thankfulness come from? It comes from God, okay? It is God that's making our thankfulness possible. So be thankful for your thankfulness versus bordering on prideful, perhaps, for your thankfulness. Let's move on. Number two, a grateful heart. We're looking at a portrait of a grateful heart. A grateful heart is a growing in gratitude heart. So to answer this question, here's the question. As I just described that last point, are we there yet? No. To answer that question, we are to be always growing in this area, growing to be more grateful. We are disciples. Disciples are always learning, always growing. Even if we have been saved forever, we're always learning, always growing. When a baby is first born, what do we want that baby to do? Like seconds after they're born, what do we want them to do? Scream? No, we'd never want them to learn how to scream. What is it? I'm hearing voices, but I can't make them out. Breathe. Yes. We're like, okay, they're breathing. Yep. Everything's good. Now count the toes and the fingers and how many eyeballs and things like that, right? We want that little one to breathe. And then after the baby breathes, what do we want it to do? Keep breathing, right? We want that to continue. We want those lungs to keep breathing, which is why, unfortunately, God designed babies to scream. It exercises the lungs and builds them up. At least that's what the doctors say. But we don't want that baby to stop breathing. Thankfulness. It is a crucial first step in our progress as disciples. We haven't arrived. It's just a step. And it should never be abandoned. Never pivoting away from Christ and going backwards. And yet we do that, don't we? We have bad days. We have carrying a case of water and all these kind of days. I got to shorten that down, though. Okay. It's too much to say at one time. If we lapse into a complaining attitude, here's a warning. When that happens, please remember this. We are pivoting away from Christ. Here's the thought for us. Psalm 100 and verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Folks, this is more than just a nice psalm that we, you know, people might pull out at Thanksgiving time. Let's apply this to when we come to church to worship. As we're getting out of our cars, we're going to enter into his courts with thanksgiving. We're going to come in those doors with thanksgiving. We're going to come in with praise. We're going to be thankful unto him. And notice that verse. It's all about him. When we, I know this is poetry here, so we do have some license to apply it to come into this place of worship. But since the New Testament says, in all things give thanks, it fits here as well. If we come in those doors with a complaining attitude, remember, we've already pivoted away from Christ and truth. Is there not something wrong when we come to worship God with a complaining attitude? When we come to worship God and we sit in the pews and then we leave and we didn't like this and we didn't like that, something's not right there. I don't know the word for it, but something's not right. We're here to worship God. That's it. In a broader sense, looking at this psalm, thankfulness is the key that is the first step as we approach God. Almost like, I mean, if we could enact this verse, we would gather together as Christians, and before we did any worship at all, we would just praise Him. Praise Him. Praise about Him, praise His goodness. Now, I'm not talking about having a praise service where we have a group up here and we're jamming to praise songs, because that's for the flesh. I'm talking about just, even if we just bowed our heads and prayed for 10 minutes and praised Him. Praise, 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 praise. And now we're ready to worship Him. We've entered His courts with praise, as the psalmist instructs us to. And then we continue to give thanks every step of the way. Jesus demonstrated this. He gave thanks before He broke bread. Oh, I know we all do that. Dear Jesus, thank You for this food You've provided and we're about to partake of. Blessed to the nourishment of our bodies, you know, and all those generic prayers that we say when we eat. Jesus gave thanks before He broke bread. He gave thanks before teaching His disciples. He gave thanks before raising Lazarus. It wasn't something that He stopped to do. It was just part of what He did. He was just thanking God all the time, no matter what He was doing. Here's an example for us. I bring you a bottle of water. I hand you a bottle of water. What would you say to me? What'd you put in it, right? Say thank you, right? It's built into us, okay? Someone hands you a bottle of water, you say thanks. But let's say in your mind you're thinking, well, that was kind of weird. I mean, I just walked up to you and handed you a bottle of water. Because you trust me, you would take it, and you say thanks, but your mind might be thinking, well, that's kind of weird. Versus, I bring you a bottle of water out to your house. You live out in the country. Your well is dry. You haven't had any water for 2 days. And what do you say when I bring you that bottle of water? Not thank you. Thank you! You're dying, literally dying of dehydration. Any drop. You are so appreciative of that. Now, let's consider this example, this either or. In the first part, I just walk up to you, hand you a bottle of water. And you're thinking that's kind of weird. Why? Because you have plenty of water. All the drinking fountains in the building work. You're just a few minutes from home and you just flip the faucet on and you got all kinds of water coming out. Are considering everything that you have, right? And that's why it's kind of weird that I gave you a bottle of water. In the second part, you realize you have nothing. And what is being given to you is everything. That's why God says, in everything, give thanks. One is, the first one that thinks, oh, that's kind of weird, is self-sufficient. I have what I need. I have plenty of water. I don't need water. The other one is a recognition that I need water. One is pride, which makes us not thankful. The other is humility, which makes us very thankful and grateful for anything that anyone does for us. Good, bad, or ugly, since God is in control, we're always grateful to our loving God who knows more than us. Let's move on. A third aspect of a grateful heart: humble and dependent. So as we kind of bring this around here tonight, thankfulness depends on an awareness of dependence. Us being aware that we are dependent. This is tied to humility. And as we know the truth, James 4:6, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I'm sure all of you have heard that verse before. God resists the proud and gives grace unto the humble. If there is one thing we don't need in this world, if there's one thing we don't need in our life, is God's resistance on us. Keep in mind, this verse was written to Christians. God resists Christians who are not humble. Well, I'm not a proud person. I'm very humble. Remember one of the tests. If we're complaining, we're not humble. And God is resisting us. He resists. That is something we do not need. And we most certainly do need more grace, which comes to those who are humble. It's God's grace that transforms us to be what we cannot be, to do what we cannot do, like be grateful. So we need God's grace. We're completely dependent on Him for this. And we are dependent on Him and others. And it is with that recognition that we look for ways to acknowledge them with appreciation, because we are dependent. Wait a minute, you might say, I understand this biblical concept of being dependent on God, but dependent on others? Just let that roll around a little bit there. Absolutely, we are dependent on others for so many things. And if you come across someone who is independently dependent upon themselves and they don't need anything from anyone, and everything they have, they accomplished it all by themselves, they don't need to be dependent upon anyone, well, let's take them back to the beginning, okay? How about your mother and those that helped her go through, they all went through a great deal while you pretty much did nothing during birth. Completely dependent on them. That car that you, oh, independent person, that car that you drove, who built it? Well, workers. I guess you're dependent upon engineers to design a car for you to drive. The roads that you drove it on. The lights in your home, the furniture, the food, the processing, the manufacturing. We have our freedoms in this country that we enjoy, don't we? But they cost so many lives and even more disabilities. I don't know if you ever realized this before, most of the signers of the Declaration of Independence lost their fortunes, and many of them were hunted like animals by the British. The Panama Canal. When was the last time you thought about the Panama Canal? And yet it has been so such a beneficial key to commerce. It was built at the cost of hundreds of lives to make that possible. How about parents, driving instructors, risk their lives to teach your child how to drive, okay? Police officers, firefighters, first responders, they risk their lives for us. Thankful people recognize their own dependence. And they speak up with gratefulness. Strong or weak, rich or poor, talented or not, whatever we have or don't have, we owe all that we have to Almighty God. So much to be grateful for. So next week we're going to begin looking at the fruit that is produced by gratitude. So we'll stop here for tonight and go to our prayer groups.